Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here." "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
I'll be honest. I have found it hard to get into the spirit of Easter this year. Good Friday? No problem. Right now, we as a people know the experiences of Good Friday, the experiences of grief, exhaustion, hopelessness, longing, disorientation, anger, despair. But renewal, salvation, new life, resurrection, hope, these things feel elusive. Now, I love this time of year. The stories we tell, the stories we embody on this Holy Week, they break me open. They bring me alive. I enjoy watching children wave palm branches and shout Hosanna. I enjoy remembering the Last Supper by eating together with those we love and kneeling to wash their feet and breaking bread together so that we don't forget that Jesus is really in us, that we are a part of him and he is a part of us. I even find holy wonder as I feel Jesus' ache in the garden, Peter's anguish as he meets Jesus' knowing eyes. And here's the cock crow. The tender, compassionate love Jesus shows the women who stick with him all the way to the end. There is so much power in these stories and in the ways we typically get to reenact them as a community of faith. But this year has been different. Everything has changed. We've had to find new ways to relive the story together. Now, there have been moments of great poignancy and meaning, but I have missed our more familiar patterns of being together. It is hard. One of the challenges is that what is hard varies so greatly among us, depending on our life situations. Some among us are lonely. Some are overwhelmed. Some are afraid for family. Others are afraid for their businesses and livelihoods. Some of us are grieving jobs we have lost, and others are facing this Easter without someone they love for the very first time. Some have struggled with the difficult decisions of leadership in this time, and some have struggled with feeling out of control. There are those among us who have to go out in the world and dread it, and others among us who must stay in and dread that. Everything is different. Everything has changed. And so the feeling of Good Friday lingers, even on Easter morning, just as it did for the two Marys in our scripture. They go to the tomb in grief. In Matthew's gospel, they aren't bringing spices to anoint the body. They don't have a list of things one should do at a time like this. They are simply broken and sad. They want to see Jesus, to experience new life, to experience renewal and hope. We know the story well. They are surprised by an earthquake and an angel descending from heaven to announce, "He is not here. He has been raised. Jesus is not in the place they expect him to be. He's not even in the places we might expect him to be in this story. He's not in the earthquake or with the angel. He's not in the big dramatic moment." Hope, new life, renewal, resurrection. These things don't come to the women in the sensational parts of this story. It is so much more subtle. The Marys leave the tomb. They are filled with both fear and great joy. They are headed back to their friends who are huddled together, hidden away from the world in terror. And out on the road, they are surprised again. They see Jesus, and he greets them with the most ordinary of acknowledgments. He basically says, "Hi," in the most normal way possible, as if this is the most natural thing in the world. Of course he's here. Of course his presence surprises them. Of course they aren't alone. The women react by embracing him, by worshiping him. But clearly, this encounter with the risen Christ does not drive away all of their grief or their disorientation or their fear, because Jesus tells them once again, "Do not be afraid." Or another way, "You have nothing to fear." The women saw Jesus. They saw him alive. They experienced the resurrection in real time, not through storytelling. They actually lived it. They saw hope and new life and renewal. They rejoiced in it. They relished it. They held on to it. Everything is different. Everything has changed. And yet, they are still afraid. They are still disoriented and struggling. The joy does not eliminate the fear. But friends, neither does the fear eliminate the joy. Perhaps this is the message of hope for this Easter. The fear will not and cannot eliminate the joy. I have wondered if the angel were speaking to me this morning. He might tell me that I too continue to look for Jesus in the wrong place, that I am looking for some idealized vision of faith as opposed to one that actually interacts with and completely changes my real nitty-gritty life. He might tell me that I cannot find him in a place that is completely free of guilt or of grief, of exhaustion, of hopelessness, of longing, of disorientation, of anger, of despair. That is the wrong place to look. Instead, I may only find the hope, the new life, the renewal, and the resurrection that I seek by allowing those things in and amongst my fear, by noticing even the ordinary appearances of grace as they happen in the most normal of ways all around me, and then by relishing them, by giving thanks for them. Friends, the tomb is empty. Everything is different. Everything has changed. Jesus is alive and active and present all around. The scripture ends with a promise. You will see me, Jesus says. You will see me. You will see love and hope and renewal. You will. Amen.